Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So I'm married to an amazing man, Jonathan, who's down here. He's an amazing, godly, faithful man. Keeps me grounded. Like I said, I like to get passionate, so sometimes I get a little bit crazy. And God gave me a good man to keep me nice and grounded. And we have three young children. I have two girls and a boy. And my son, he's my favorite son, my only son, so I'm allowed to say that. And Solomon, and he's 5 years old. And he's in the middle. He's a typical middle child. A lot of the young adults here have given him the nickname 0 to 100 because he's so introverted, so shy. You wouldn't know he's there. And next minute, he's just at 100%. And that's in both good and bad ways. But he's super creative. He loves to create things. He loves drawing and he loves to make things. And like any boy, he also likes to build. So he's a little bit obsessed with Lego at the moment. And so he's always coming up with these interesting inventions. Yesterday, he actually brought in to my husband and me this. It looked kind of like a cross between a jet, an aeroplane. It had wheels. It had a skateboard on it because that's very important. It had a sick dog on it. So he made quite a big point that the dog was sick. It had people on it. It has antennas on it, walkie-talkies, and all these different things. But each thing that he has a specific plan and a purpose. And whenever he brings these interesting inventions to us, there's always a backstory, so of why he started to create this particular object like it is. There's always a reason of why it's created for right now, but it actually has a purpose for in the future of his make-believe story that he hasn't even played with yet. And, you know, it got me thinking that this year we've been talking all about purpose, that you were designed on purpose, that God created you on purpose for a purpose. And the thing that I loved about Solomon and him bringing in these weird and wacky inventions is that everything that he builds has a plan and it has a purpose, but not only for what he's about to play with right now, but actually to cause a rippling effect in the future. And so I just wanted to speak today about that I believe that we're all called to build something of greater influence than just what is in ourselves or just what is in our hand right now. And so, yeah, that's right. Let's get really excited. I love you, Isaiah. You're just amazing. Very exciting. But, you know, sorry. Woo! So we were all created to build something more than just ourselves. So we were all given something in our hand that we are actually building and creating now. But I believe that we're actually supposed to build something of greater influence, not only for those in our world around you, but for those in the future, but even generations to come. See, you know, we often hear that what are we doing in this life is to mark a footprint. Well, I don't believe that's true. I believe that we're supposed to create a rippling effect. Like when you throw a stone in a flat pond and it creates a ripple effect, the bigger stone that you throw, the higher that you throw it, the bigger rippling effect, the longer that it lasts. And I believe that in life, that each and every person is called to do that. I believe that each of us, no matter what season, no matter what age you are, that we're all called to do that. So if you would like to turn with your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to talk about building, and I'm not a builder, so it's going to be a different type of building. But just to give you a little bit of background, if you don't know much about Nehemiah, he was an Israelite. He was actually working in a foreign country at the time, and he was a cupbearer to a foreign king. And the Israelites, so God's chosen people, they had been in exile, they'd been in slavery, and they'd been sent home 70 years earlier to start to rebuild their own home. And Nehemiah, he thinks everything is going well, but he gets word that the city's not doing too well, that it's destroyed, that the walls are burned, that basically they're in a lot of trouble and disgrace. And so God calls him and he goes and he meets all the people, he gathers them together and he says, I've been sent by God. I believe that we're supposed to rebuild the wall. And you know, these people, they get all excited because they want to build something. They want to have their home back. And you know, previously to that, in Nehemiah chapter 3, it actually says that everybody got on board and started building. It talks about the priests, it talks about the rulers, it talks about sons, it talks about fathers, it talks about grandfathers, it actually talks about daughters, so women and children. So it didn't seem to matter what age, what background, what status, that everybody was building something. And I believe that that's like us in life. Because if the Bible says things like that, usually it's a picture that that's what we do in life. Everybody is building something. So even when you don't believe you are building something, you're actually building something. You know, that what they say is that if you want to change maybe a mindset or tear down some strongholds, that you actually need to build something before tearing it down. So with fear and anxiety, Dr. Caroline Leaf actually talks about rewiring your brain. So to stop having those negative thoughts, to stop having anxiety and fear take over your life, that you actually need to create, you need to build new nerve pathways, new neurons. And then once you keep building that over a period of time, that it actually destroys the old ways of thinking. So that tells me that everything that we do, we're always building something. So let's go into Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6, and we're just going to read this together. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard the repairs of the walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, and they were very angry. They all plotted together to come against and fight Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Everyone say, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews who lived near came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. You know, it's a pretty not very encouraging part right there, but these Israelites, they were building a wall. And see, they were building something that they knew had greater significance. See, they weren't only just building a wall of Jerusalem, because inside that wall there was the temple of God. And that was a place where people would actually meet God, they would actually receive forgiveness from God, they would actually receive hope, they would actually receive peace. And it wasn't just for themselves or their children, but it was actually going to have an impact for generations to come. So we see here that they've been building and that they've got to be tired, and you know that the enemy has decided to attack. And can I tell you that the enemy doesn't really care what you start, he only cares what you finish. So if he can get you tired halfway through and he can take you out, then you're going to be right back to where you started. You know, in the famous words of Russell Crowe in Gladiator, one of my favourite movies, but it says, what you do in this life will echo for eternity. And I believe that when we're talking about purpose and talking about building, that we should think with a mindset like that. That when we're a mum, we're not just a mum, we're not just providing school lunches, getting them to school on time and doing homework and getting them to bed as quick as you can so that we can relax, because I've got young kids and that's what I do. But that we're actually building, we're growing, we're developing the next generation of world changers. So, and you know, if you're building a business, like, yeah, we're building a business because, you know, making money is good, but what's the purpose behind that? So we're building this wall right in front of us, but what's the greater influence, what's the greater impact that that's going to have? So for myself, I have a business, and the reason I started a business is because God told myself and my husband to start a business because he wanted to use that business to bless and to fund the kingdom and to plant churches around the world. So we know that when I go to work and that I'm working hard and I'm building my wall just right here, that it actually has a greater influence and a greater impact, because I'm not only building a wall, I'm building a kingdom. So the title of my message today is, if you're taking notes, keep building the wall, you're building the kingdom. So repeat after me, keep building the wall. Wow, there's a lot of people here and that wasn't very loud. Come on, keep building the wall. You're building the kingdom. But you know, just like the Israelites, life happens. Sometimes things get tough. Sometimes you get swept off your feet. Sometimes sickness happens. Sometimes divorce happens. Sometimes singleness happens longer than what you wanted. Sometimes loneliness happens. Sometimes job loss happens. Or sometimes not even being able to get a job continues to happen. And so we can get tired. And see, the enemy doesn't care what you start. He cares what you finish. So if he can take you out, if he can get you focused on what is happening right in front of you, that you're building your own little wall by yourself rather than that you're building something of greater significance, then he can take you out. So today I wanted to suggest to you three ways that the enemy will try to take you out to stop you building the wall. Because we need to keep building the wall to build the kingdom. Is that good? Good. All right. So point number one, if you're taking notes, is the enemy will always remind you and try to define you by who you were, not who God says you are. The enemy will always remind you or try to define you by who you were, not who God says you are. You know, the Israelites, they were set free. They'd been walking around in freedom for 70 years, yet due to maybe bad mindsets, due to maybe the fact that they couldn't really build this wall, they were walking around in slavery even though they were free. And you know, that sometimes happens to us. We've just celebrated Easter. Jesus died on a cross. He took all the bad things I did, all the sickness that has happened in my body, all my fears, all my failings, nailed it to the cross, buried it, and then 3 days later, He rose again. And you know, in Christ, I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But how often do we go back to the cross, or we let the enemy whisper in our ear and we take that thing that we nailed at the cross and we go, oh, fear. Oh, you're kind of nice. Oh, you know, oh gosh, I really should worry about that thing. Oh yeah, that's right. Actually, you know, how am I going to pay the bills? Oh my gosh, did I even have any bills? No, I definitely have bills. Oh yeah, that's right. And we take that thing off the cross and then we go, oh, we'll just play with it for a little bit. Yeah. And then we go, oh, you know what? It actually feels a little bit comfortable because it's something I'm familiar with. When the Israelites went back to their place of freedom, they were walking around in slavery because it was something they were familiar with. Are you getting where I'm going? So we often can do that because it's a place of comfort. And so the enemy tries to distract us and he tries to remind us and define us by who we once were, not who God says we are. And you know, sometimes it can even be in the fact of, I know that the enemy has come to me at times of, do you remember those few years ago? Mate, you were on fire. You were so on fire for God. You were like up at 4 a.m. on your knees and worshiping God, and you would go to work and you would tell everybody about Jesus. Even if no one was in the room, you would tell them about Jesus. And then, you know, like you would be texting people and encouraging people. And mate, you were always on the front row. You were like, yeah, I'll serve wherever. You were just a gun Christian. Now look at you. Now you're living in fear. Now you're getting a little bit anxious. And you know, sometimes he can remind us and define us by who we once were, even though it was a good thing. Yeah, because the things of life had happened and we're growing and we're developing and we're growing wisdom and God is doing stuff. But if he can keep holding us back to where we once were, not who God says we are and the plans God has for us in the future, then he can take us out. So how can we stand firm? I love Galatians 5 verse 1, which I think is going to come up on the screen. Yeah, awesome. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. So how do we stand firm? Well, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, it tells us, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard both day and night to meet his threat. It's through prayer and reading God's word. So prayer is just a conversation to Jesus. That's just you talking to God. Reading his word is him talking to you. So when we do it together, that actually spiritually posts a guard. God sends his angels down. God sends the Holy Spirit, makes the Holy Spirit's voice clearer. And he posts a guard on your mind, in your life, both day and night. And so, you know, I really believe that the more that we're praying, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean on your knees. That just means having a conversation with Him in your head while you're making a coffee, while you're making the kids' school lunches, while you're going to uni. But, you know, come on, because if we're going to keep building the wall and to build the kingdom, then we need to really be praying and we need to be in God's word. Amen? Amen. Point number two. We begin to build in our own strength and get focused on our own purposes. Wow. One way the enemy tries to take us out is we begin to build in our own strength and get focused on our own purposes. Yeah. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10 says, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said the strength of the laborers is giving out and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild." So because they were starting to do things in their own strength, they started to look at their little piece of wall and they started to go, "This is all just too hard. Look at all these bits of rubble around us. We can't rebuild." And I think often that's what the enemy tries to do to us. Because see, the thing is that I know from when I'm raising children that if I'm praying, if I'm really spending time in God's word, then it really does change my outlook, my focus on how I do life. Yeah, I'm still making their lunches, but as we go to school, I start talking to them about Jesus. And look, I'm no super Christian and I love to say that I'm perfect and I read their Bible to them every single night and I teach them how to pray and, you know, we fast and we throw oil all over ourselves, but we don't. So I'm definitely not perfect, but if I'm praying and if I'm reading God's word, then it keeps my mind focused on I'm not just building the wall, I'm building a kingdom. I'm raising a generation of world changers. But what can often happen is things start going good. You know, the kids are behaving well and everything's going well and life's going good. And so just like when Pastor Dave talked in his message last week about we sort of leave Jesus in the back seat of the car, then I can start doing the same. And things still start going well and things are still going good until all of a sudden, you know, get tired. And it's like, because I've started to do things in my own strength rather than doing things in God's strength. And, you know, often when we start doing things in our own strength, because things are all a little bit too hard, we start to drop balls in different areas. And so I'm going to suggest to you that the one way we combat when the enemy tries to take us out by allowing us to do things in our own strength is to serve. And I know that sounds so contradictory, but I love that God's currency works a little bit in contradictory. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it actually says that, "Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap." See, that there is like it doesn't really make sense. So when I'm giving out, God's saying, "Yeah, I see that you're giving out." When you're serving, God goes, "Yeah, you know, now that you're not serving yourself and you're serving me, then I can pour in and I can help you rebuild your strength because I know you're not only building a wall because you're now building a kingdom." And so can I encourage you that if you're not serving, join a team. You know, and we've got this awesome thing called Growth Track. So good. And, next service, you can actually go and be a part of Growth Track. And that actually helps you find your purpose. It actually helps you show you what you're skilled at if you don't know where to serve. But you can just join any team. You know, "Oh, I'm a preacher. No, I'm just going to wait for my turn to get a phone call and so I can preach." Can I tell you, serve on the kids team. Oh, yeah, there we go. "Oh, but I don't want to, you know, pick up these babies and wipe snotty noses and have crying." Yeah, but God, how He works is when He says, "You humble yourself before me, I will raise you up." You know, He goes, when I can see that you are serving outside of yourself, that you're actually just pouring out into these kids, He goes, "You know what? Now well done, good and faithful servant, then I'm going to elevate you." So come on, guys, we're not building just a wall, we're building a kingdom. So start serving. I know that the teams are going to go up after this service. So point number three, if you're still taking notes, the enemy will try to distract you to get you to focus on him, so on the enemy, or what's going wrong in front of you, rather than focusing on the Creator above you. So the enemy will either try to distract you, he will try to destroy you, so that you start focusing on what is in front of you rather than the Creator above you. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Also, our enemy said, 'Before they know it or see us, We will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to their work. Then the Jews said, verse 12, who lived near them and told us 10 times over, wherever they turn, they will attack us. So whether you believe in God or not, there is an enemy out there and his job is to steal, kill and destroy. And his job is to take you out because he doesn't care what you start, he cares what you finish. And you know, life happens, and sometimes life happens because life happens. So people get sick or we lose a job and that's just life happening. And other times it's the enemy trying to take you out. And the thing is that if he can get us to focus again, what's right in front of us or the storm that's going on around us, then it takes our eyes off the Creator. And you know what? Sometimes we just stop building altogether. Rather than we're just going, okay, I'm just going to build my wall, we've totally become introverted or inside what is going on rather than being outward focused. And you know, the way that we combat this is actually through life groups. God has designed us to do life together. Nehemiah chapter 4 verses 13, you guys are going to help me read this, says, therefore, which means because the enemies were trying to attack us, therefore we did something. Therefore, I stationed some people, say people, behind the lowest points, say lowest points, at the exposed places, posting them by families with their spears, swords, and bows. You know, this is life group. When you're in a small group of people, that's just where we have connect groups or where we gather a small group of people together. The reason we do that is so that when you go through your lowest points, it's a place where we can actually expose who we really are in a safe environment. And it's with people. And it says, posting them by families with swords, spears, and bows. That tells me that there's people there that are going to fight for me. There's people there that are going to defend me. There's people there that go, you know what? Yeah, that's you. You know what, enemy? You're going to attack me. Well, we're going to throw spears right back at you. Yeah? So, you know, like life groups is so important. God has designed us to do life together. And, you know, we're quite proud of doing life together here at church. And I want to encourage you that, join a life group. If you get on that website and you're like, there is no life group in here that I want to go to, then start one. Whoa. Start one. You know, because things that you enjoy or things that you want to do, I'm sure there's other people that want to do that too. We have an amazing man in this church and he's really into flag waving and it's just a personal joke. But seriously, we with life groups, it doesn't have to be that we're all sitting there talking about our feelings and, you know, poor me and please pray for me. No, we have life groups where it's like, okay, go out and go cycle together. Go play tennis together. Because when you're doing life together, it means that when you're going through a time where, hey, the enemy's really getting down on us, he's really being tough, it's you've got people there that are believing with you. You've got people there that are praying for you. You've got warriors that are fighting in the spiritual realm and battling for you. So come on, guys, because we're not just building a wall. We're building a kingdom. Verse 15 actually says, when the enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all return to the wall, each to their own work. The reason I feel that God has put this message on my heart is that sometimes we need to expose what the enemy tries to do. And then not only that, but we need to know the tools and the strategies of how to combat that. You know, I really sense that there's some people here today who want to experience a new level of freedom. And maybe you're not necessarily walking out around in bondage or slavery, but you know what? It's like, hang on, I've just been focusing on building my wall, but I really want to go to that next level and be a part of building the kingdom. Because, you know, when we're doing life on purpose, when we're living life and looking through the eyes of purpose, it really changes the things we do, the things we say, the people we hang out with, the way we act. And you know, it actually gives greater meaning to life. you know, with people that are suffering anxiety and depression. I know that I've touched on it throughout this message. And the reason I feel confident and comfortable in doing that is because I've walked that journey. I've suffered that journey of severe anxiety and barely being able to get out of bed. And, you know, the way that they actually say for you to get through things like that, I mean, there's a whole lot of strategies. I'm not a psychologist, so, you know, please don't come and see me for counselling. But it's actually to serve, like when people start serving and they start doing something with a greater purpose, they start looking more of what is in front of them. They're building their wall, but they know that they're building a kingdom. It actually helps them get through that journey quicker.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.